Once again, friends, it's our joy and our privilege to offer to you a copy of God's Word, an extract from the Bible, one's entitled Mark's Gospel, the other one is Luke's Gospel, or even if you would like a full copy of the entire Bible, it's yours for the asking. God's Word, to put the Bible in any shape or form into the hands of any person is one of the most wonderful things that one person can do for another on this earth. The most precious gift that one could give to another. Your queen was told in 1953 when she was crowned the queen of these islands. So if you'd like a copy of God's Word, it's yours for the taking. There's no cost and there's no obligation to you yourself. Yours to take and do with as you will. But if you would like one, then please do come and ask us for one. Any questions that you might have, we would like to try and answer them for you. We don't have all the answers, but we do have some, and we do believe the answers to the ultimate questions, the ones that matter the most. In the Bible, a verse for you this afternoon from the book of Psalms, Psalm 12 and verse 12. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword, he has bent and readied his bow. Solemn, serious words indeed, are they not? There was a day and generation, I do believe, going back some many years ago now, when perhaps maybe the church, God's servants, the preachers, were maybe just a little tad over the top when it came to preaching about the judgment of God, terrorizing people. Well, that's how it would seem, at least to this generation anyway. But it seems to me that we've almost gone full circle, and any mention, any talk about judgment or God's anger, well, it's not kosher in this day and generation in which we live. Now, it's all love, and unless we tell you that God is love and loves everything and anything that moves and breathes, whatever they are or whatever they've been doing, well then, you'll not be very popular inside the church or out of it. But of course, the judgment of God, the fact of God's judgment and his, yes, I do say his terror, his holy anger towards unrepentant sinners is a reality. It is a truth that's revealed to us in the Bible. But we declare it to you not in order to frighten you. It may frighten you. I hope it would, but we don't declare it in order to frighten you, to bully you into being good or coming to church or anything such as that at all. We declare the judgment of God to you simply and only because it is a reality that God has revealed, and it's to be flee from the wrath to come, is one phrase that's used in the Bible. But few there are who will tell you this truth today. Wherever you go, you can go into many churches in your city today, and they'll comfort you emotionally. They may feed you, entertain you with song and dance, and all manner of things. But this truth concerning the judgment of God, against the wrath of God against unrepentant sinners, I declare to you, you will not hear. For churches and preachers alike, they don't like to be unpopular. We all like to be liked, and we all like to be loved. And so we tell people, we all have a tendency to tell people what they want to hear. Well, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the end, that is, when the Son of Man, when Jesus returns. And I think if you were to seriously and truthfully examine the days in which you live today, I think that you would find that there are a great many similarities. I mean, attitudes, the unbelief, of course, which is the root, which is the sum of all things. I was communicating with an atheist just the other night, and he said to me, "Give me evidence." "Evidence," he said. "No," I said, "you have all the evidence that you need. You know that God is, and your place is simply to raise the white flag, to surrender, and to submit to Him. In order, of course, to avoid the judgment of God." Well, this message that I have for you this afternoon, believe it or not, it was declared many years ago, back in the Victorian era, by a man who was one of England's favourite preachers, a man called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's a favourite today. That's probably more likely because he's dead, but it's the living ones that we can't live with. But he titled this message, he said, "Turn or Burn." Now, that's serious, isn't it? I mean, to speak like that today in a modern day society, that would be totally unacceptable. But that's exactly how he spoke about this verse. If you don't turn, if you don't change, if you don't repent, he says, God has whetted his sword that's ready to fall in judgment. Turn, he said, or you will burn. But of course, well, that's the truth of the matter. Of course, I know that the majority of you would rather that we flattered you. That's because, you see, we love the lie rather than the truth. You see, people always go for the lie because it's the easiest and it's the most pleasing to our fallen nature.
Excuse me.
What?
Have you heard of holy anointment oil?
No.
Cannabossum?
No.
Cannabossum?
No.
Basically, 70 years ago, cannabis was used as a medicine.
Can you have a word with my friend there, will you?
Yeah, sure.
I'm kind of busy just now, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Cannabossum.
So, you see, we go for the lie, you know, rather than the truth, you see, because it's more pleasing, as it were, to the flesh. We want to be flattered. I saw, a headline, one of the political things in the paper just the other day. This is not a political message, it's not a commendation of any political party, believe me. But the man said in his headline, he said, "UKIP are probably right, and the rest of them are all lying to us, but..." You see, what he was saying was that the one that's right, the others are lying to us, but I'm still going to vote for them. Because, you see, we prefer the lie to the truth. And so it is, you see, when it comes to the things of God, relationship to God, whether it exists or not, you see. But the lie, you see, is the deception that keeps you in a state of unrepentance, you see, and under the judgment of God. If you do not repent, you see, what we are being told here is, if you do not repent, your doom is absolutely certain. It's a certainty. If a man does not turn, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword, the sword of judgment. It will fall upon him. So it's practical repentance, you see, that's required. Sometimes I think to myself, I get rather weary preaching to you about repentance. I've been doing it here now for the last 33 years. And I'm still saying the same thing, because it's the same thing that's needful. It's still needful. It's your greatest need today, to repent, to believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand, as Jesus says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, it's the wrong, it's the unrighteous thinking that leads to the unrighteous living. Moral, immoral, principle-less living. And that's your society in general today. And that's what you have to turn from. Let the wicked forsake his way, your way of living, your way that you think is right but ends in death, your way of denying God, your way of maybe finding peace and happiness, your way that you think is the right way. You're to forsake it, you're to repent of it, because unless you turn, you'll burn, in the words of the old and famous preacher. The sword of judgment, you see, is bound to fall upon you if you do not repent and believe the gospel. You see, it's not the promise of repenting. Many people, they make promises, you know. You promise family members, I won't do the thing again. I won't go back there again, but you know that you will, because you don't really mean it. It's a false promise, you know. It's like a political promise, you know, comes out both sides of your mouth. You're not to be trusted because you're not repentant at all. But it's not the promise of doing it. It's not that I will, it's doing it. Unless you repent, God will wet his sword, his judgment will fall upon you. If you do not repent, if you do not turn, you will, in fact, of a truth, you will burn. So you see, it's true, it's actual, it's sincere, and there's actual repentance, a forsaking of the sin, a stopping doing it. Oh, but you see, that's so very hard. I know it is, but there's nowhere in the Bible where God says it's easy. Because you're like fighting against the law of gravity. You're fighting against your fallen nature. Of course it's not easy. But it's the only way into the kingdom of God. It's the only way that you can be saved and right with God, justified. To justify something or someone is to make it right. And the only way that you can be made right with God is to repent and believe the gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's a real turning to righteousness, moral principles, that's what we mean. And of course that goes against the grain, doesn't it, today, in a principle-less society, an immoral society, and a society that's sold out and sold under sin. It's not an apology. I heard of a man, he professed religion, and for 20 years he'd been committing adultery regularly. He was a serial adulterer, you might say. And when he was found out, he said this. He said, I repented every time I did it. He said, sorry. In other words, every time he did it, it's not saying you're sorry. That's not enough. Sorry, maybe that you've been found out, that you've been caught in the act. But no, it's not an apology and then going on sinning, carrying on in your sinful life and lifestyle. That makes you worse than ever before. You've acknowledged that you are wrong, you acknowledge the sin, and you carry on living in it. If you don't turn, you will. Most certainly, you will burn. But then it's complete, it's entire. It's complete repentance. It's forsaking sin, all sin. Not just, some. You acknowledge maybe that there are some things that need to change in your life, and you're quite willing for them to change, but maybe perhaps there's that one darling lust, and for the life of you, you will not let it go. No, people, it's all got to go. You have to forsake all your entire, whole, vomit-filled, sinful life has to go. Unless you forsake your own life, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. It's an impossibility, you see. It all must go. You cannot indulge. One single lust is enough to sink you into the depths of hell under God's judgment. And so, people, be assured, know this, will you, that the very least sin is full of venom, is full of poison, and is enough to destroy you eternally forever. So unless a man repents, unless he turns, he will burn. God will whet his sword, and his sword of judgment will eventually fall upon you. And this repentance, you see, it has to be immediate. It's now that you're called, not next week, not next year, not at the end of your life, but immediately, right this moment, you are called to repent. Not on your deathbed. Some of you maybe have the picture in your mind of you're coming to your end, you're lying in your deathbed, surrounded by all kinds of nice and kind people, and there, you'll think about eternity, because you're going there, sure as sure can be, and you're not far from breathing your last, and you think, well, I'll put it right then, I'll repent. God asks the question of you this afternoon, how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you, of a sudden, on your deathbed, your last moment, find the ability to turn, to repent of your sin, and be and do good? No, the repentance, it has to be now. You see, you won't alter, you won't change your spots, you won't change your nature then. No, people, it's now, it's immediately God calls you to repentance. Today, says the Lord, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as many have done in the past, but rather hear his voice, hearken diligently, come to him, forsake your way and your unrighteous thinking. In other words, repent. Believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you don't turn, you will indeed burn. But then the repentance spoken about is a heart matter, deep within the heart. You see, it's not an outward thing, you know. You say, oh yes, I'll repent, and you wink, you know. And because you've got absolutely no intention at all of a serious repentance. You see, God is not mocked. You see, God sees, he knows the heart, he knows your thoughts even before you think them. You don't kid God on, you don't deceive God. You may deceive your fellow man, but not God. This repentance, you see, is a turning in the heart, and it turns the entirety, the whole of one's life. It's root and shoot. the root as well as the shoot. It's that season again, isn't it? We have to be mowing the grass, and you go out and you mow the lawn, and it looks lovely and green, not a weed to be seen anywhere. And the next morning you get up, you look out the window, and sure enough, there's a daisy, there's a dandelion. They keep coming popping up again, because you never took them out by the root. You just cut the heads off. And repentance, you see, that's not a heart matter. Well, the sin just keeps coming back again and again, just like the daisies and the dandelions. You go back to it, you return to the sin, just like the dog returns to its vomit. That's about the only way that you could describe sin, isn't it? It's human vomit. If you don't turn, you see, God says, you will burn. But then, of course, this repentance, you see, is a necessity because of God's judgment. And, you know, sometimes the surgeon, he has to use his knife whether he feels like it or not. I'm sure, I don't know what the job's like, I wouldn't like to have it, but I'm sure sometimes he must think to himself, I've got to stick my knife into this poor person, and I've got to cut deeply, and I've got to open them up, and I don't really feel like doing this. Well, if you look at that in spiritual terms, you see, if you don't take your knife to your sins, you see, if the surgeon doesn't put the knife in, maybe perhaps his parent will die. Well, if you don't take the knife to your sins, you will die. I promise you that in the authority of God's word. If you don't pluck out the right eye, says Jesus, that causes you to sin. And he's not talking physically, he's talking about repenting. If you don't stop ogling at the other sex with a heart full of lust, you know, wanting to adulterate or fornicate with them. If you don't pluck out the right eye, the offense, well, you'll perish. If you don't turn, you'll burn. Cut off the right hand, says Jesus, that causes you to offend, of the leg, the foot, whatever you care to think of. You see, it's turning from sin, it's forsaking, it's abandoning it seriously, because it's a necessity. If you don't, you will die. The man who does not repent, God says, he will wet his sword of judgment will surely fall. Turn, or you will burn. But then, of course, don't delude yourself, will you, that your sin will go unpunished. Some people think so. They deceive themselves that way, that God's not a God of justice at all. Takes me back to the beginning. You know, he's all love. The Bible says, doesn't he, that God is love? Yes, it does. God so loved the world? Yes, that's true. But there's only one aspect of the attributes of God. He is a holy God, and he is a just God. And justice he will require of each and every one of us. You see, a God who is not a God of justice is an impossibility, if you stop and think about it for a moment or two. But this delusion prevails amongst people, that they can sin with impunity, that they can carry on without repentance, and it will be okay. God will not treat them in justice. I tell you, to take the justice away from God, well, that's to ungod God. That's no God at all. So you see, people, your sin, it will be punished. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this, then comes the judgment. Then comes the justice of God. We shall all give account. For every idle word, Jesus says, you'll give account. And then, of course, well, there are many, many other verses from the Bible that I could bring to bear upon this. But there's no salvation without repentance and faith towards Jesus, the Son of God. To argue otherwise is to fly in the face of the Bible in its entirety. Think of your first parents in the Garden of Eden. They were dispelled from the garden with no hope of return, unless that is without repentance and faith towards the Son of God. Think, if you will, about the flood, when the earth, the ancient earth, was flooded in the days of Noah. Why? Because men were wicked, unrepentant. Because God's justice, you see, had kicked in. And then, of course, you've got Sodom and Gomorrah. They were rained down with fire and brimstone because of their sodomy, and they hadn't even invented sodomite marriage yet. They were way behind you. They had no Bibles, churches, or preachers, but they perished for lack of repentance. And we could go on, of course, the Red Sea. Even God's own ancient people were sent into exile because they had become a nation of idolaters. Has God changed? Well, the Bible says not. Lord says, I am the Lord, I don't change. Jesus says, and the Bible says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. The man is still the same. Repent. Repent, or God will wet his sword. His judgment will fall. Turn, or you will burn. And then, of course, there's the voice of conscience that tells you otherwise. That's a loud voice, isn't it? A lot louder than my voice. Eh? A lot louder than my brother's voice. Eh? We can shout, we can raise our voices, we can amplify them now. But I tell you, there's no louder voice than the voice of conscience when that kicks in. And you don't silence it easily. You have to murder it with drugs or alcohol or something else. You see, I don't believe you, Mr. Preacher Man. I don't believe this. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You know it's right. You know fine and well it's right. You know what I'm saying makes sense. Yes, you do. Time of crisis kicks in. What's the first thing you do? You cry out to God for mercy. Isn't it? God help me. Even Dawkins had to say that. Slipped out of his mouth. In the midst of one of his atheistic, godless lectures. So you see, people, you know otherwise. When you're dying, if it doesn't come to you violently and suddenly, when you're dying, oh, you'll believe in hell then. You will, believe me. But now's the time, not then, not later, not even tomorrow. Now is the accepted time, says God. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but obey, surrender, yield yourselves to God, believe, repent, or you will all likewise perish, the Lord Jesus said. Turn, people. If a man does not repent, God will wet his sword. His judgment will fall eventually. Turn or you will burn. It's the truth. However unpalatable it may sound to you in this day and generation. But then, of course, the means of turning, well, you can't do it yourself. You say, well, what on earth are you saying, man? You say, why are you telling us to repent if we can't do it ourselves? Because that's what's commanded of me, and that's what's commanded of you. You see, you're so utterly set upon your sin that you cannot repent of yourself. You love the sin. You hate righteousness. You hate lowliness. You love your sin. That's why you won't let it go. That's why you hate what I'm saying, what we preach to you. You love, you're so utterly sold out for sin. You love it so much, you cannot repent of yourself. But here's the good news. Christ died, was raised from the grave, exalted to heaven. What for? To give repentance to sinners. You see, it's a gift, and it's a gift from God. So you feel your sin, maybe? You have an inclination? You feel your sin, perhaps? Then ask Him, Jesus I mean, ask Him to give you the gift of repentance. Ask Him to help you. You got a heart of stone? Of course you have. Ask Him to give you a heart of flesh. You got a heart like a block of ice? Of course you have. Ask Him to melt it for you. Ask Him. Raise the white flag. Surrender. I'm done fighting with you, Jesus. I surrender, submit, I yield myself to you and to your love and your kindness, your compassion, your mercy. I don't want to perish in my sin. I don't want to burn in hell. I want to be saved. Save me, Lord Jesus. Go home and get on bended knee. Shut the door. Nail it shut if you have to. Keep them all out. Turn the telly off and the computer and everything else and get on your knees and cry out to Him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And don't give up until He answers you, until you know that you have a pardon. Till you know that you have eternal life in your soul. Till you know that you've been forgiven. Sit down. Sit down. And instead of counting your money and your beads, count your sins. Go over your past and think about them and count them all. And acknowledge them before Jesus. Confess your guilt to Him. Repent until you feel that you've repented. Believe until you feel that you have believed. Until the thing is done, until you know that you have repented, believed upon and received the Lord Jesus Christ and pardon for your sins. So Christ is the means. Christ, people. Jesus. He's the means of repentance. And He alone. That's why we preach Jesus to you and nothing else, because Jesus is the answer. But you see, what's the problem? Your sin. Because if you don't repent of it, you will burn. Turn. 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 Why will you perish, says God, when there's a Savior, when there's repentance to be had, when there's a way of escape, when there's the gospel, when there's good news for sinful men and women such as you and me, that we might not go to hell, that we might not perish in our sin, that we might not endure the flames of hell, but that we might enjoy the favors of heaven. People, there's a hell to be shunned, and there's a heaven to be gained. But you know it. In your heart, you know it's right. Look to Him, Christ. Look to Him. All you ends of the earth, He says, and be saved. For I look at the crucified one, there is life, eternal life at this moment for you. At this moment for you. Cast yourself upon Him. What have you got to lose? You've been doing it your way. according to your thinking all these days, and where's it got you? What better off are you for it? What assurance do you have when you're finished on this earth that you're going to go to heaven? I mean, real assurance. What do you got, All the things you chase after, so transient, so fleeting. You got nothing without Christ. Poverty stricken. People, repent. Repent or perish. Turn or burn. Man does not repent. God will wet his sword. That sword of God's judgment hangs over you. Like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall at any God-given moment. People, you do not know. You do not know the moment. You do not know the hour. You do not know the day when God will require your soul of you. I was preaching in a church just the other week, well, a couple of months ago now, and I asked the question from the Bible. I said to the people, I said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? A member of that congregation went home that night and breathed his last. It's not known whether he had repented and believed the gospel or not. You see, you delude yourself. You think these things happen to other people, but not you. You know, you think you're going to live forever, and especially so when you're young, but you're not. Death is no respecter of person, and no respecter of age either, and no respecter of riches. People, no respecter of religion either. Now people, reality, do you know Jesus? And do you know him as your Savior? And do you know that he has given you the gift of repentance and faith? Do you know him in reality? This is eternal life. That you know God and he whom he sent, Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Not asking you, religious. Not asking you, do you say your prayers? Not asking you, do you read the Quran? Not asking you, do you do your beads? I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Because unless you do, you will perish in your sin. His love, I tell you, whoever and whatever you are, wherever you've been sleeping and whoever you've been sleeping with, I tell you people, there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. His love is salvation. He died on the cross for ungodly sinners. He gave himself willingly up to the death of the cross so that you and I might be washed and made clean, reconciled to God. But the pathway is repentance and faith, believing, turning from your sin and returning to God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So people, turn, the man said, back in the Victorian era. Turn, he said, or burn. Yep, it's faultless. Might not like it. Might not be kosher. Might sound harsh to this fond, this effeminate generation in which we live. But it's still the truth. It still needs to be declared. And I declare it to you this afternoon. Read the psalm for yourself. Number 7, verse 12. If a man doesn't repent, God will wet his sword. His sword of judgment will fall upon you sooner or later. But before that happens, before it comes, while you've got the breath of life in you, I call upon you, repent and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. Ask him, Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Jesus don't lie. He speaks the truth. So ask him and go on asking him. Seek him and go on seeking him. Knock and keep on knocking until the doors of heaven are thrown open to you and you're given the welcome, the favour of God, salvation, redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, read about these things for yourself. It's offered to you free of charge without cost, obligation to you. You want a whole Bible? Gladly give you one. But read for yourself, see that these things are so. Take God's written Word home with you. Take the living Word home with you. Take Christ home with you. Ask Him to be your Saviour. Call upon Him while He is near. You'd like somebody to pray for you, not with you, but for you. I would happily do that. But if you'd like a copy of God's Word, take home with you, come and ask us for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.
No, I'll be fine.